Well, we've turned the mics back on and we're ready to talk to more entrepreneurs. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and thank you everyone for tuning in and listening. And thank you very much to one of our anchor sponsors, the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. And that means Mark Furman is flanked to my left. Welcome, Mark.
Hey there, Jeffrey. Great to be with you. Looking forward to hearing from our next guest.
Right. Thank you very much. I also want to thank the firm of Mark Z and Mark Z Legal Staffing for also helping sponsor this show. Our next guest, Chris Murphy, partner Scally Murphy Law. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good. Do you want to start by telling us about your practice?
Sure. So we started in 94. My business partner started the firm. And when we started, we did two things. We did criminal defense and personal injury. And then, like a lot of firms, we conquered the world. We did a little bit of everything else. And over the last decade, we've really returned to our roots. So Mark knows. My tagline is, you know, if you're in the back of a police car or the back of an ambulance, you give us a call. Wow.
From the car?
Yeah, well, if you can, we hope. Right? A little tricky with handcuffs sometimes.
But it's very focused practice. And specializing in those two areas.
When we branched out, we did a lot of things, like everybody. And I think we found that we were very good at a lot of things, but starting to become the masters of none again. And resources get sucked from one trial to the end of the month with real estate closings, so on and so forth. So I think in the firms that I really like, either they hire the best and have niche practices, or they are a niche practice themselves.
Interesting.
How big is your firm now, Chris?
We're boutique. We can't hold a candle to Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, but we have five attorneys and support staff.
Can we just cut that little segment out and send it to Mark so he can put it on his website? We can't hold a candle to Tarlow, Breed. Wow.
Well, I've personally had the opportunity to see how Chris operates, and, he's so responsive in dealing with clients. I had a client who had a little criminal problem.
Allegedly
had a criminal problem, at least the police thought so. But, you know, Chris was just so available, including on, you know, weekends. And so, you know, when people need a lawyer, they need a lawyer then. So you know, Chris really impressed me with how he treats clients.
I got lucky. I started at the firm as an unpaid intern, and my business partner, Steve Scally, is originally born and bred in Charlestown, and that community loyalty, the honor you feel representing your neighbors, and if you don't do a good job, you're going to hear about it. So from day one, the firm's always been client first, and make sure you're giving them that attention, that service. And a lot of things, unfortunately, happen at off hours in the criminal and the personal injury end of things, so you better be available.
Well, you know, we tend to be predominantly listened to and contacted by entrepreneurs. And I would assume that the character of a white-collar criminal is a little bit different than a traditional blue-collar criminal.
You know, there's a couple different ways to look at things. When I started, I knew one thing when I was in law school, that I didn't want to do criminal defense, right? Because who wants to represent those people? And I think you quickly find that the real bad eggs in the criminal world are such a minority. It's you, it's me, it's great people who get in trouble, whether you're white collar, blue collar. It's really nice just representing people who've had a bad day. Most of them aren't repeat offenders. Most of them just had a quick lapse in judgment. It's really, really, it's been a fun experience and something that, you know, if I could have told my younger self way back when, you know, don't have that prejudgment and stigma about criminal law. It's really a rewarding practice.
Is it hard to juggle criminal and personal injury?
It can be, again, if you're not sort of niche-y. So we don't do any more federal work. We don't do any superior court work. We're simply district court. We're very picky in what we do so that we can be good at it. A lot of drunk driving defense, domestic issues, and lighter criminal problems. When they get more into paper cases, much more serious and lengthy trials, I prefer to find other good, talented attorneys who can help do those. And that's one of the things we've done, as you know, with our practice. We make sure that if it's something we're going to do and do well, we'll take it in. But if not, we'll get you to the right people. Because I think that's the lawyer's role, is to be that counsel, that advisor, and get them where they need to be with whatever the professional may be.
You know, in my firm, we've done a lot of work on preventing alcohol abuse across college universities around the country. And I know you do a lot of work in that area trying to help people who've been accused of drinking and driving. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
So drinking and driving, we have the extreme, right, where catastrophic injuries result and people are driving extremely reckless. But it's also an area that's policed really, really heavily. So you will get a lot of people who have social drinkers. They had a drink or two at dinner, and they get stopped. And do you take the field sobriety test? Do you take the breathalyzer? The police departments in their training manuals have zero tolerance. And it's not like back in the day when people would get, you know, protective custody or driven home to face your parents, which was probably worse than facing a judge. These days, everybody gets arrested, everybody gets put in front of the machine, and the penalties are tough.
So do you advise people to take the breathalyzer or not?
No. Over the last 5 years, there has been a lot of litigation over the breath test machines and some very recent rulings on it. They have been excluded for quite some time from admission because they were alleged to be fallible. And then there was a lot of discussion about whether the Office of Alcohol Testing was doing their job correctly. So recently, as of April, they've started admitting some tests that are deemed reliable, with the OA Office of Alcohol Testing showing that they are, in fact, keeping their chain of custody correctly.
You know, you mentioned getting taken home to father. That was capital punishment. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, so it's more dangerous. You're right. But, you know, now with the legalization of marijuana and let's say maybe the combination of marijuana and alcohol at a legal level, I'm wondering if you're coming across that and how that's affecting things.
Marijuana has posed a big problem for the Commonwealth because there's no machine that tests for it yet. Rumor has it MIT is working on some various different testing apparatus to gauge that. But drugged driving is very difficult to prove. The police departments have people, what they call DRE, drug recognition experts. But even the testing for that is very difficult to prove that someone was under the influence and of what. So both alcohol and drugged driving have a high success rate for defendants because, again, it's a hard thing to prove.
Chris, we've been reading about the problems at the Registry of Motor Vehicles with the registry not taking action on after being notified of Massachusetts drivers having problems out of state. And I wonder what experience you have with the Registry of Motor Vehicles.
So, like we just talked about, but that's great. Criminal charges have a lot of collateral consequences, one of which obviously in a lot of offenses is a suspension of your driver's license. So we have clients all the time who are looking to be reinstated or to, as I mentioned a moment ago, get a Cinderella license, which is a limited driving privilege, usually in a 12-hour block. So 7 in the morning to 7 at night, you can drive for a period of time until your license comes back. And
it's sort of like when somebody would be working.
Exactly.
To and from work. Yes.
The requirements at the registry, among others, are that it is based on a work-based or an educational-based need. You need to get to and from school. You need to get to and from work. And with the problems from the horrific crash up in New Hampshire, where the gentleman driving was supposed to have his license suspended, and there were, unfortunately, a bunch of boxes in Massachusetts that didn't get processed. A lot of people have gotten notices recently. So not a big part of our practice, something that we do, though.
We've been speaking with Chris Murphy, partner at Scally Murphy & Law, with Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Reed, Hart & Rogers. Chris, if somebody's looking for you to get support in any potential criminal law situation, how would they find
or
you?
Or personal injury.
Personal injury. I'm sorry about that.
No, thank you. It's easy. We're Scally Murphy Law. We have two offices, one in Everett, one in Medford, and you can do a Google search and we pop right up, or you can find me at cmurphy@scallymurphy.law.
Great. Thanks for being on the show today. We hope you come back again.
Thank you.
It's nice having a little twist of fate with a criminal law firm. That's a little different for us. Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. And thank you, Mark Furman.
It's a pleasure.
Nice to see you, Chris.
You're going to stay here all day?
Take a break. We'll be right back
all
after
morning.
These messages.